Glory to God. Hallelujah. Happy to be at church tonight. Glory to God. I know I am. Praise the Lord. I have a little bit better than most people. I get to be in church as much as I can because, well, praise the Lord. As long as we're having church, I got to be here. Amen. Glory to God. And that's a good thing. But God is good. He's with us. Praise the Lord. I hope you're encouraged as we're going forward in faith. Praise the Lord. You know, we haven't been moved yet. Jesus, the Lord hasn't fallen off the throne yet. God is still good. Amen. No matter what's going on out there in the world, praise the Lord. You know, I think, I don't know if I said it in this church or other church, but I recently, you know, the Lord showed me that it's our time to shine. Praise the Lord. And glory to God. I hope that you're shining. Praise the Lord. I hope you're a light to the world and a light to, you know, in a dark place. Glory to God. You know, recently I got a text message. It was from somebody that doesn't even go to our church. Somebody had sent us an offering. Praise the Lord. So I just sent him a message thanking them for it. And, you know, the way they responded to me was that, you know, he said, you're a light in a dark place. Hallelujah. And I just love that, you know, and you're somebody who is willing to sow into us and sow into the work. And of course, we believe God for all that he's doing. Amen. We believe in God. We trust in God that he's continually helping us go forth in faith. Praise the Lord, in the right direction. Glory to God. You know, just because things look a little bit different now doesn't mean that anything with him has changed. Glory to God. And so we're still standing, and I just welcome you, anybody who's tuning in from live stream, whether you're from our other church, whether you're from another church in general, you know, we're here just doing the work of God. We're being safe. We're doing the things. We're following government guidelines and all those things as we believe that they are helpful and beneficial for us right now. Glory to God. But we are also doing what the Word says to do, and we're congregating together and not obviously in mass, praise the Lord, as we would like to, but we're still having services. And if we felt that it's need, you know, even if I come down here, the Lord showed me a long time ago, even if I come down here and preach to nobody, praise the Lord, I'm still doing something because I'm following what he showed me to do. Amen. And so just by showing up, just by being here, the Spirit shows up with us. Amen. And so good things are happening. Praise the Lord. So I'm glad that you could tune in or that you're here. Praise the Lord. But God is good. Amen. Let's get into the message tonight. Glory to God. Tonight's message is called Enacting Change. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Enacting Change. And we're going to be talking about some things that the Lord's been dealing with my heart progressively on, and some things that have become more revelation to me, and things that he's opening up. You know, I don't know about you, but I know this period of time has taught me a lot about myself, a lot of things. It showed me some places where maybe I had been deceived in thinking that it was a certain way, you know, and realizing that things are a different way. Amen. You know, we can say anything we want. I've said this before. I'll probably say it a bunch more, but we can say anything we want that we believe, or we stand on certain principles or whatever, but you never really know what you'll do until the time is upon you to do so. Amen. And so I believe, of course, that we have been doing that, but I've been also seeing that it's something that you have to really put your heart on and your mind to, and say, this is what I'm going to do. That even the strongest of faith can be rocked if it isn't held on to it. Amen. And of course, the Bible tells us to guard our faith and to protect our faith and to keep our faith and all these things, you know. And so we know that there's a devil that's trying to rob it from us, but we're not going to give in to him. Praise the Lord. But we're going to do the things that God, I believe that one of the things that is happening in this process. Now, let me preface this by saying once again, that God did not cause this virus. We actually know that it's probably, you know, caused in a lab or something like that. But praise the Lord, God didn't cause it. He didn't inspire it or any of those things. It is inspired by the devil to try to stop the things that God wants to do on the earth. And, you know, but it's not going to last. It's not going to work to do that. But one thing that the Lord is using it for, I believe, is a shaking. He's shaking the church. And, you know, one minister friend of mine said something really good. He said, you know, that you know, there was people that wouldn't come to church before, and now they're not allowed to go to church, and they're knocking on doors to come in, but they can't come in, you know, and we're talking maybe metaphorically there as far as knocking on doors. Listen, we have to realize this should be a wake-up call for the church, amen, because God didn't give us church, he didn't give us the church, he didn't give us the protection of the church just so we could just decide haphazardly that we're not going to go or, you know, just be like, you know, I'd rather do something else tonight but you know, God has given us the church as something to hold on to, and those who are serious about it are holding on to it, amen. But God is going to shake loose the things that the things that aren't serious, you know, the ones that aren't serious about it. And of course, there's much more to that, but that's not specifically my message. But we'll get into the other things. Praise the Lord. This message was birthed out of a phrase I heard in my spirit, and that was: Does God use trials to enact change? Praise the Lord. Does God use trials to enact change? And I would take it a step further and say, is God using this trial to enact change? And I'm going to tell you that first, the answer to the first question is absolutely. God always would use trials to enact change. When when the people of God had slipped, when they had come kind of backslidden, you know, backslidden doesn't just have to be somebody who is just out there sinning, but backslidden can be people who aren't serious enough about God anymore, people who have relaxed their faith, or they've relaxed their courage, or they don't trust in God the same way. You know, one of the things that I find, you know, is that humanity affords us a lot of crutches, especially, or I should say, our society affords us a lot of crutches. In America, we have a lot of things that we can rely on. We have stimulus packages. We have a government that wants to help people, wants to do things, and we have some government that wants to just control everything and make sure that you have everything you need. And, you know, and all these things, while they seem great on the surface, aren't always great for the person. I mean, if you give a child, if you just give them everything they always want, praise the Lord, they become spoiled. And then when a spoiled, everybody knows that a spoiled brat is no fun. Nobody likes to be around one. But God's people have kind of became the same way, where church has become such a casual thing, where, you know, there's people in China right now, and not just because of this thing that's going on, but they've been there for years that have had to, they've had to fight and possibly pay with their lives just to show up at church. Now, you show me that in America, and there's people that will skip church for a nice sunny day or for a, you know, a golfing game or something like that. And it's like there's some real, there's a spirit behind that. And we have to understand that. Because God's spirit always wants to draw us together, but the devil and the evil spirits will always pull us apart. Amen? So God does use trials to enact change. He will allow trials to happen in our lives in order to wake us up to certain truths. And I believe that one of those truths right now is very evident, but that's the desire to be with the people of God, the desire to have the things that God wants for us. Amen? And do the things that he has for us. Praise the Lord. So we're going to start here in James 4:7. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, and I thought, as often happens, that I was going to preach a totally different message. And then the Lord started dealing with me on this specifically, these things. And so I hope you're believing with me, but we'll get through it. Praise the Lord. And we'll get it all out. Amen. James 4:7-8. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible says here, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now these, I love this scripture. I actually just read this scripture, another newsletter like that a minister friend of ours sent out, praise the Lord, and he used this, and he brought up a really good point to it. You know, we all love the part of the scripture that says resist the devil and he will flee from you. But the thing is here is that there's a first part of the scripture that's very important. It says, therefore submit to God. And when we read that, we have to understand that when the Bible says submit to God, what it's talking about is submitting to the Lord's ways, submitting to the way he has to do things. See, the problem with the church for so long, and the church in America, I should say, for so long, is that many people have tried to come up with their own ideals of how things should work. They come up with their own, I'm a Christian and I have a relationship with God, and so therefore it's between me and him and it has nothing to do with all this other stuff. There's people that bash churches, they bash the idea of having a pastor, where anybody can be a pastor, all these types of things. But see, the truth of the matter is these are all things that God has implemented. It was God that said, where two or three are gathered in my name, that I am there in the midst. It didn't say where you were gathered by yourself in the woods, or you were gathered by yourself, you know, riding your bike, or wherever else you think you can find God. You know, I've actually read some things like that in recent times where people, and you know, you're all, well, you say you're all sitting here, you're sitting here, you're tuned in. So you're obviously connected to the church and somehow. But, you know, this is also to let us know what's going on out there in the world. We have to recognize it. We have to recognize things that are wrong. And not that we need to correct everything that's wrong, but we need to recognize it. It's important that we do so we don't get deceived. But people think, you know, I can't remember what event they said that they were doing. They were finding God doing something, whether it was riding a bike or going for their walk or something like that. Listen, you're not going to find God on those things. Now, if you're a faithful person and you, as you go through life, you will always find God in your life. That's true. I'm not taking that away. But you don't get to just have God to yourself. That being the church is about being part of a body. Amen. And how many know, it's just like we've always said, but I'll say it again, but I cut my pinky off, and I lay out over there in the corner, or I put it out back in the woods, probably it won't last very long, amen. And the reason it won't last very long is because it's separated from the body, amen. And we even know in Hebrews 10:25 it says, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. And of course, that doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be in the same place all the time, but your heart is there with them. And I know this, that in these times, that when my heart is my heart is with my people, amen. And so my desire is to be with my people. I desire to see my people. I desire to see the people that God has connected me with for a purpose, because He's connected us for a purpose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we need to submit to God. We need to submit to His ways. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in prayer. We need to agree with the Holy Spirit. We need to know the Holy Spirit. We need to know God's ways. It is so important that we submit to God. Amen. And so we need to submit to all the things that He wants to do. Amen. But in verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, we're going to look at this more in a minute, but, you know, this is the part that God actually drew me to the scripture, was the whole idea of drawing near to God. You know, in times like these, in times where, you know, I'm not going to say uncertain times. I actually hate it when I hear that word. You know, listen, especially, it should never come out of a Christian's mouth. There's no such thing as an uncertain time if you're following the Holy Spirit. How do I say it? You may not know what's going on. But that doesn't mean that it's uncertain for you. Your certainty is found in the Word of God. Your certainty is found in the truth of God, and that's that you always go to the other side. That no matter what, God protects His people if they follow Him, if they trust in Him. Now, that whole idea of trusting in God is a big concept that I think we miss. We can say we trust in God, but do you trust in God when there's a pandemic? Do you trust in God when you lose your job? Do you trust in God when these things flare up? See, for a Christian, trusting in God shouldn't be a hard thing. For a Christian, trusting in God should be their lifestyle. That no matter what's happening, listen, if you're rocked when something bad happens to you, that means that there's at least a little bit of lack of trust in God. And so that should be eye-opening to you to say, oh, that's an area that I need to build my faith in. Amen? Doesn't mean you get condemned about it. Doesn't mean you self-condemn. Oh, I always go this way. I always lose. I always do that. No, it's an eye-opener that you need to trust God. Amen. And so this time period for us, that's exactly what this time period is. This has not changed God's word. This has not changed God's word on healing, on health. This has not changed God's word on prosperity. This has not changed God's word on taking you higher to blessing your home, to blessing your storehouse. Praise the Lord. None of God's word has changed just because there's a pandemic. None of God's word has changed because there are things happening in the world. And, you know, I thought about this, and at first I got a little bit, or before I've gotten frustrated with this idea. A lot of times when something big is going on, that's what we seem to be talking about. Amen. But we shouldn't be surprised that that's what we're talking about, because we're dealing with the things that are in front of us. Amen. And so the Lord will show us over and over and over. And so forgive me if I say coronavirus more than I want to say it. I say pandemic more than I want to say it. I'm not saying COVID-19 or whatever it is. Praise the Lord. I'm not that highly educated. Praise the Lord. I just stick to the dumbed down versions. But, we're dealing with the things that are in front of us. But there are principles always that we can get out of them, that we can reap out of them if we're people that are willing to do it. So draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Notice that the drawing near comes from us first. Yes. And the reason is because God has already done something with Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so our drawing near to God is what's mandatory for that first step. You know, a lot of people want to ask when something bad happens, God, where were you? But I think a lot of times God is up there saying, where were you? Because if you had been with me, you would have been fine. Now, this doesn't mean you won't have opposition. It doesn't mean you won't have things come against you. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, that, listen, I'm not going to apologize for it anymore because there's religious people out there that get mad when I say things like that. There's religious people out there that get mad when I preach about a Lord who always heals. Praise the Lord, who always desires to heal, a Lord who always desires to protect. I mean, you can't go through the word very far and not find it. Praise the Lord. There's always some kind of scripture. You're from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Amen. I was in one in Revelation today. Revelation 3, 3:10, I think it is, where he talks about that he will save us from that time period, the trouble, the trial that will come on the earth. He will deliver us out of that because we have kept his word and we have kept his name. Amen. Because we're ones who stand and that's what the word is. The ones who keep it. The ones who stand. Amen. That's what the word promises. The word always promises as you connect to God. When you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. But if you don't draw near to God, he ain't drawing near to you. Just like if you ain't resisting the devil, he ain't fleeing. But there's a lot of people that don't resist the devil. And a lot of times, even if people do resist the devil, they're not submitting to God. So they're not getting the resist. They're not seeing the effect of the resistance. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we need to continue in the way that God has set us in motion. Amen. Now, what stood out to me here as I was reading verse 8 is, of course, he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You know, you need to recognize when you've done something wrong. You need to recognize. I was repenting before the Lord even today about some stuff. Just things that what is that? Is it getting self-condemning? No. I was repenting in joy. Why? Because I knew he was forgiving me. And because I knew he was forgiving me and that he had revealed these things in these areas in life that would hinder me, he was revealing them to me. And so I was saying, praise the Lord, I can repent for this and let go of it. And it's not holding me back. See, that's what true grace is. Glory to God. That I can still continue on even though I've screwed up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if any of you are human, which I'm sure most of you are, praise the Lord, then you will probably have something to repent for almost even daily, maybe minute by minute sometimes. But we know that it's not a bad thing. Just get it right and get it good. Amen. Glory to God. But what stood out to me was that you double-minded. Amen. And of course, I thought of another scripture in James. So let's go ahead and flip back there. James 1. Praise the Lord. Back there in James 1, starting in verse 5. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, specifically, this is where we get to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Glory to God. Count it all joy when you fall. This is what he's talking about in context. Amen. Verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom. Now, this is a big, this is something we need to understand. When a trial comes upon you, and this is exactly what this scripture is dealing with, wisdom is the ability to put to knowledge to use. Amen. So wisdom is the ability for us to take the knowledge, the things that we've gained, and be able to know how to use it right. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so what he's talking about here is if any of you lacks wisdom in the trial, okay, you have a trial. Does anybody had a trial come up against them that they didn't know what to do? Praise the Lord. That's exactly what the scripture is dealing with. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So if any of you lacks the wisdom on how to deal with a situation or handle a situation, on how to get through, glory to God, if any of you lacks that wisdom, ask of God. Because he gives to all liberally and without reproach. He is not going to look at you and say, why are you asking me how to get out of this? But see, people aren't asking for wisdom. What people are asking is just get me out of it. Yeah. Just get me out of it. God doesn't want to just get you out of it. We are co-laborers with Christ. He wants to work in you and work through you to enact change, both change in you and change in those around you. Because see, this is the thing that this pandemic has been showing me, that the people of God don't look a whole lot different than the world does. And if the people of God don't look a whole lot different than the world does, then they ain't got answers for the world. And if they don't have answers for the world, when the world comes looking for answers, they're not going to look for your God because your God doesn't give you answers. Why would they want to join your faith? Our faith is not just so we can have a church service up by ourselves for the rest. No, our faith is so we can go out there and get the world saved. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your blessing is so you can go out there and get the world saved. But Christians are so inward. They're so, especially Christians in this country, are so just about me. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the way that it is. It's not the way it's always going to be, though. And we've been talking about revival and praying for revival. And Christians have been saying all this stuff about revival. But listen, they can't even get themselves out of their own head yet. They can't stop looking in their own backyard. They can't stop looking at, well, what I have or what everybody focus on what they could get. And they're not focused on what God wants to do. Right. Listen, but God wants to set us free. Amen. And he wants to set people free. Glory. Well, praise the Lord. He'll give you the wisdom. Ask a God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you doubt, the Bible says it right here. If you doubt, you go without. Hallelujah. That's the truth of the word. If you doubt, you go without. If you don't believe God, if you don't trust God, you will not have what God has promised. Plain and simple. Glory to God. And it goes on to say, verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So back there in when we started James 4:8, he says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's he talking about? Get yourself back into the faith. It is double-minded to not have faith, to not trust in God. And people have not been trusting in God. They've been trusting in their jobs. They've been trusting in their house. They've been trusting in their way of life. They've been trusting in the way that things have been. We've been trusting in the American way. So everybody's shocked when something happens. Everybody doesn't. They act like they don't. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Churches arguing back and forth about this and that. You listen, churches shouldn't be arguing about stuff. It's real simple. You trust God. You do what you got to do. Like Jesus. Listen, Jesus did not make precautions in life or take precautions in life. Never in the Bible does it say not to take precautions. You know, I use this example before and I'll use it again because people in our own camp have even said things like, well, you know, God has never told people to social distance. I'm like, oh yeah, well, what about the law when he directed people that had leprosy to go, to not have contact with humans? Why did he was the same healing God back then. But that's what he said. He said, don't have contact with other humans. That was part of the law, and that was given by God. Amen? Actually, if you look at a majority of the law, I forget what the percentage of is, but the Old Testament law, a majority of it was about health and healing. Have the latrine this far from the camp. Don't let people who are sick, over here. Don't let people who are bleeding do this or that, cook your meat. All these different kinds of things were about health and healing. Amen. You know, at the time, the Egyptians, one of the custom of the Egyptians was to actually take feces because they thought that rubbing feces in an open wound would help it heal. This was an actual thing that people did. But of course, the law told the people, the God's people who had just come out of Egypt, praise the Lord, had told them to stay away from it because we all know now they didn't know about bacteria and diseases and all that stuff. So listen, it is not ungodly to be safe, especially when you know something is going on. Amen. Praise the Lord. That does not mean that God is not healer. It doesn't mean we can't trust him for healer. We're using our faith, praise the Lord, to protect us against this virus and anything else. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe that no plague is coming near our dwelling. It's not going to come upon us. But that doesn't mean that we can go out and be stupid either. Amen. And so, there's all kinds of stuff to that. And I haven't just not about that. But, people get focused on the wrong thing. Is what I'm saying. They're focused on things that don't matter. And as far as I see, God's using this to enact some good change. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to remind you of Romans 8:28, but we're going to read it in the Amplified, so I'll just bring it up here. Amen. I love this scripture, and I decided to get into it in the Amplified. God keeps calling this scripture to mind. He's reminding me, he's been reminding me of something, but I love it in the Amplified. It just pulls it out even more. Listen to this. We are assured. Everybody say, I'm assured. Praise the Lord, and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. So all things are working together, God being a partner in our labor, all things work together, and are, I love this part, and are fitting into a plan. I love how it says it, fitting into a plan. God's got a plan in all this. Now, again, God didn't cause the virus, but God will use adversity. He will take adversity and he will turn it. He will use it for the betterment. And people don't understand that a lot. Here's the truth. Sometimes people won't listen until things get really bad. I was a person who had to be brought to that place where I was looking at death's door before I would listen to God, before I would start being obedient. I always knew about God. I knew about Jesus. I knew about the Bible. I knew it was important to go to church, but all these things I forsook because I wanted my own plan. I wanted to do my own thing. And I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't listen. And then trial and trial and trial. What was God? God wasn't putting the trial on me, but he was certainly allowing it to happen. Okay, fine. You want to touch the stove? Touch the stove. But you're going to get burnt. Now, God will take us through. He will bring us through to the other side. But folks, we got to understand something about this. We got to have the right attitude about things. Listen, this trial is not coming to take us out. If we're the church, it's going to stand strong. If we're the church, it's going to be there when it all, that's going to stand in faith. If we're the church, that's going to make it to that. We have to believe that this trial is not going to take us out. Amen? Praise the Lord. And even if I'm wrong, which I'm not, but even if I'm wrong, you get to go to heaven anyways. But we got to believe that this trial is not going to take us out. Hallelujah. The goal, the purpose of this trial is not for us, but God can use it. And so this is where enduring hardship as a good soldier, this is the time where these kinds of scriptures come into play. See, the Lord has been revealing this to me because so often I had these scriptures kind of, I knew these scriptures and I had bits and pieces of them and I had a little bit of understanding of them, but I didn't really understand like what God's trials were. You know, there's a lot of Christians that don't really understand what it means to pick up their cross daily and follow Christ. Some people think that picking up your cross means that you got to be sick. There's no way that could be, because when you look at what Jesus did on the cross, he wasn't picking up sickness. Now, of course, we know that he took sickness upon him, but he did that in order to destroy its power over us. Amen. But when Jesus walked through here, the sufferings of Christ were the people that railed against him, were the people that came against him. But what do we know about Christ? Until he laid down his life, he was preserved all the way through. He was preserved through every trial. And even until Paul laid down his life, until he knew it was time, and until the Lord had showed him that it was time. Even then, Paul stayed strong, and the Bible says that the Lord delivered him from all, everything, A-L-L, all, amen? Praise the Lord. And so we know that there is a plan here. God has a plan here. You know, one of the things is again, I'm going to focus on the people, on the fact that one of the things I've learned in this is that people aren't serious about God. That people think that most of the people, the church included in this country, they think that church is a non-essential business. First of all, they think it's a business and they think it's non-essential. So this is what's being preached out there. It's a non-essential business. Now listen, we still have services because we know that it's not non-essential. It is essential. I know the essential nature of pastoring. I know the essential nature of having church. Glory to God. And I'm just going to tell you, it would be much easier, and I said this, I think, in Mayville, it would be much easier for me to run for the hills and not have anything to do with church services right now. It'd be a lot easier to deal with that. But that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to promote the Word of God, to promote the answer for people, to keep things going the way that they have to. This is essential. This is not just something that can be shut down. And I'm not saying that from a standpoint of, again, that we can't limit church services, or that we can't, have less people in them, or that we have to split things up, or we have to be a little more creative for a time. Of course, we're doing our best to follow all those guidelines and to do it correctly. And I think that's important. I think it's important. Governor Tom Wolf, I don't think his goal in any of this is to shut churches down. And so that's why we comply with the things. Amen. Because that's not the goal behind it. But what I'm saying is that we know the essential nature of it. The attitude of people, though, is that church is not essential, right? That there's no reason to come together. That's the attitude of people. That's a dangerous attitude. Listen, the one thing that my family and I have learned over is that if we're not in church for a week, that we feel the effects of it. We understand it because we need it in our lives. It needs to be part of who we are. Because when you come to church, that's where you get impartation. Unfortunately, you can't get the same impartation through video. You can't get the same impartation through radio. You can get impartations, but continually go on like that. You know, people have asked me, how long will we go like this? I don't know. I can't say that for sure. But I can tell you it won't be forever. We can't not have church forever. Somebody's going to have to give there, and it isn't going to be us. Praise the Lord, because we know that people need to congregate together. In fact, you see the effects of people that don't congregate. You see the effects of them over a course of time. They start being less faithful. They start being less faithful to the things of God. These are just the process that I see it every single time. I've seen it for years. These are things that we have to protect against. Praise the Lord. It may not always be easy to come, but it's something that we need to make sure that we do. And so the attitude of the world, and this is why I bring this up, the attitude of this nation, maybe not the world, but at least this nation, is that church is dispensable. That we could, you know, that some preacher could be online and talk, and I could just watch a TV show or something like that, and that would be fine. But it's not fine. And that's not fine according to the word. God always brought his body together, and he brought us together for a reason. Amen. Because there's power when two or three are gathered in his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we see that there's a design. There can be a design and a purpose, at least on God's end. Remember what Joseph told his brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. Praise the Lord. And so that's exactly what's happening here. That what the devil meant for evil, God will use it for good. He will use it to shake the church. He will use it to allow Christians, the Christians that are faithful, to rise to the top. The Christians that are maybe on the fence, this will maybe push them the way that they need to go. Or it'll push them back. Because the one thing is an unstable man or a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's an unstable man? An unstable man is a man that says, I love God, I trust in the Lord, but I won't submit to his plan. I won't submit to the way he does things. I won't submit to what he's called me to. That's what an unstable man is. Oh, praise the Lord. An unstable Christian is one that will come to church and not tithe. That's an unstable person. Why? Because they're not submitting to God's word. God's word says to tithe. You know, even the Pharisees, they were tithing and stuff like that. Even the Pharisees, the rotten Pharisees, knew that they had to tithe. I mean, they did. And Jesus said, you tithe, you know, on these things, and you, as you should do. He didn't rebuke him. He says, as you should do. He said, but you should have not left the weightier matters. You know, but so there's things that we do. There's things that we do that are good. Amen. We submit to a pastor. Glory to God. I have to submit to a pastor. Just because I am a pastor doesn't mean I don't submit to a pastor. A lot of people hate that idea. There's a lot of people, I've heard in this, a lot of these fly-by-night kind of seeker-sensitive churches. Oh, man, I remember talking to a pastor once, and he was talking about, leading the people doing something, and then he started apologizing for saying that, like he was being online. I'm like, the word tells us to lead. That's what the word tells us to do. Listen, I didn't pick this job. I didn't sit there and say, make me a pastor. If anyone knows me for 15 minutes, they knew the last thing I said is sign me up to lead a group of people anywhere. I didn't want anything to do with people. I didn't want anything. In fact, if you like I have to consecrate myself constantly to just like people. I mean, in the world. You know what I mean? Like, because I get annoyed with the way people do things. Because I think everything should be done my way. I'm just like you. Amen. I think everything should be done my way. And so when I'm in the world and people don't do things my way, I have to consecrate myself as a man of God and say, I need to love this person and let them do it their way and not my way, not have a preference, because that's what Jesus would do. That's not what I would choose. Praise the Lord. You know, we haven't done this because we get some kind of special bonus. You know, the church, I don't have some large church organization paying me. Right. Praise the Lord. In fact, we don't have a large church organization giving us anything. Yeah. Praise the Lord, except for a pat on the back and prayer and stuff like that. But I'm saying it's not like, you know, this has caused me to make so much more because now you got two churches. Yeah, I got double the work and I still don't make as much as I'm supposed to, according to what the board even said. So my point in saying that is not to say, but my point in saying that is that we're not doing this for gain. We're not doing this to try to make something. We're doing this because this is what God has called us to do. We lead because God has called us to lead. I don't lead. I don't get up here and preach because I thought, I want to be heard because I don't want to be heard. praise God, hallelujah. Now, I love hearing from God. I love that stuff. I love being able to help people. These are things I do love, amen? But I also don't love helping people that hate me. And I've had to do that, too, many, 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 many times. These are not things that I choose, glory to God. But again, back to that pastor, we are called to lead. That's what the Bible has called us to do. And so if we don't lead, if we don't, the Bible tells me to rebuke, to exhort, praise the Lord, with all long suffering, to correct. Actually, in one scripture, it says to show them in which ways their lives are wrong. Hallelujah. That's a fun job. Praise the Lord. Because if you don't know, people generally don't like to hear them being told that they're wrong. When you tell somebody they're wrong, they don't like to hear that. Amen. But the Bible tells me that that's my job. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. And so we do this not as a way of gaining any kind of popularity or notoriety, because all those things, oh man, I just love it. Whenever we get naysayers, whenever we get people say, oh, you're trying to, you know, build your own ministry and have all these, but praise God, hallelujah. They have no idea. They don't stand before people that when you tell them that they're wrong on something and have them glare at you. Amen. They don't stand before people like that. They don't sit down with people when you have to correct them on something that they should just know and they just don't know. Yeah, because that kind of stuff happens too. I've had to deal with things in the church, just deal with things sometimes because people are people. Sometimes people just do odd and weird things and you have to sit down with them and be like, listen, this is odd and weird. You can't do this. And then they look at you like you're the devil, like I came up. Like, listen, I'm not telling you because I even care. I'm telling you because other people have come to me and said, like, this is odd and weird, and I don't like this anymore. And I could give examples, but I'm not going to. But everything under the sun, you can only imagine. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But God wants to enact change. In fact, one thing that we know, if we focus on, what Romans 12:2 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, which means to change completely into a new thing. Amen. God wants us to change. Anybody who preaches otherwise is lying. Hallelujah. God wants you to change. He loves you just the way you are, but he doesn't want to keep you the way you are. Jesus didn't die so you could stay the way you are. Jesus died so you could change. And so if you've come in here today, amen, you need to know this, that a year from now, there should be some kind of change. 10 years from now, there should be some kind of change. Why? Because unless you're perfect, and I'm not going to call you perfect, praise the Lord, you may, but unless you're perfect, you need to change. Guess what? I need to change. I adapt and change all the time. I just happen to have learned to allow it a little more than the average bear. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that I don't fight change, because I certainly do all the time, especially the things I don't want to change. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we're going to keep going. Anyways, glory to God. Turn with me in Matthew 23. Glory, hallelujah. Now, there is no doubt, and as I've been moving through this, you know, there's been no doubt as to what's going on, that we are in the end times. I don't say that to scare you, but I say it because it's the absolute truth. Matthew 23 is where we're going. But we're seeing things now in the end times coming to pass. We're seeing them more and more. In fact, I think any Bible scholar would point to that. You don't even have to listen to me, who am certainly not a Bible scholar. But we are definitely into this realm of seeing things. And in this time period that God has been revealing things, I think more and more to the church as a whole, but he's also been revealing to me things, revealing truths to me that I didn't see before. Amen? One of the things that God has been leading me on specifically are things like what we just read, Romans 8:28. The reason, and things about, you know, Matthew 11, 28, 29, 30, I think in there, you know, where Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know those scriptures. You know, God is always leading us. There's abundance of scriptures. We know God's name is Jehovah. One of his names is Jehovah Shalom. And so God is a God of peace, and he's always leading us to a place of peace and a place of understanding. And even through the midst of trial, we see, according to the word, that we are supposed to be content and to have peace and to be at a place. And in peace, you will have joy. You will have all these things, and even know that things may not be exactly the way you want them. And so God has been dealing with me personally a lot about this stuff and about changing my attitude, not having the wrong kind of attitude. My wife says that I'm a guy who has, what'd you say I got, how'd you put it? Grumpy face. I can have a grumpy face sometimes, you know. A scowl. I got a scowl, you know, praise the Lord. And she's recognized my scowl, but she always also recognized it's gotten better over the years, I think, right? A lot better than what it has been. But it's something that I still have to work on. I have to work on my attitude, because sometimes I get opinionated, and I have ideas on how things should be. And, you know, if somebody didn't put the toilet paper on the right way, yeah. Amen? You know what I mean? Like, cause some people just don't care. But there is a right and wrong way, and I like to be right. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so if the toilet paper isn't on right, amen, well, first of all, I'll just be thankful that we have toilet paper. But when we do have toilet paper, it needs to be on the roll right. Amen? Glory to God. And it's meant to, because if you do it the other way, it just keeps on rolling. It'll go into the garbage or whatever is under it, gets on the floor. And that's not what toilet paper is supposed to do. If you balance it out right, it doesn't go in wonky positions. It comes off the right way. I just tell you, I know the truth on how things happen or things are supposed to happen. Praise the Lord. But I can get a scowl at things like don't happen the way that I want. If somebody misses the toilet paper or somebody puts the dishes in the dishwasher the wrong way. Because, you know, there is a specific way dishes are supposed to go in the dishwasher, too. I could preach about that all day, but I'm not going to. But I can get a scowl. But the Lord has been dealing with me about changing my attitude. Because if even in stuff like that, if I just consistently and constantly have a bad attitude, you can ask my family, especially my daughter. I apologize probably more to her than anybody, praise the Lord, because I'll snap a little, be a little snappy on something or something like that. And so God has been dealing with me these things because God wants me to live in peace. He has called each and every one of us to live in the same peace that he lives in. And God does not live in a place, he doesn't operate in a place of upset, a place of strife, a place of anger, a place of wrath. God doesn't operate in these things. He only operates in a place of peace. And so we have to bring ourselves back to this. I say all that to preface these scriptures I'm about to read, because sometimes there's scriptures that I read that don't bring me much peace. In fact, some of the ones that we're going to get into right now are ones that have robbed a lot of peace from me, and it's because my misunderstanding has been wrong. God's word is truth, and God's word will correct, but the truth of God's word will always set us free. I said it will always set us free. It will always put us in a place of God's peace. If it's taken correctly. That's why we know those people that get out there and they start preaching about how, start attacking people and stuff like that. We know that that isn't the way God wants to do it. But Christians attack people more than anybody, especially other Christians, the ones that we're supposed to love. And you watch them just attack, just be vicious. Some of the most vicious people are Christians. I'm just telling you the truth. So we see here, and we're going to pick it up in 23 and verse 37. And, you know, this is Jesus. He's looking at Jerusalem, and he's sorrowful because he knows the promises that has been given to the Jews. Amen. And it says here, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem," this is Jesus speaking, "the one who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her." Wow. Kills the prophets, the one who kills the prophets of God. And stones the one that God has sent to her. Man, oh man, this is what the Jews did. And guess what? This is what Christians do. They stone. They don't listen. The Bible says to be quick to hear, be slow to wrath. But Christians they don't want to hear. So often, I'm going to tell you all Christians, but you understand that this is and especially in this country, they're slow to hear, and they're quick to wrath. They're quick to bring judgment. Well, praise the Lord. Now, remember this. These scriptures are written to Jews, okay? Jesus is specifically dealing with Jews. However, there is always principles that we can draw out of the word, even when God is dealing with other people. Amen? So it goes on to say, "How often I wanted to gather your children together as hens gather her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Wow. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, they will not see God again. They will not see God's power again until they've received him as Messiah, Jesus as Messiah. Wow. And that we know that those things happen in the end days. And then he goes on to say, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And see, even the disciples at this time, we understand this about the disciples. When Jesus was still here, they still weren't quite getting everything. They still weren't quite, wrapping their heads around everything. To them, they're looking at this magnificent temple. They're seeing these buildings and this magnificence, and they bring it up to Jesus because that was the thing, right? So then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, in context, we know that this right here, this prophecy has already come to pass. In 70 AD, praise the Lord, the Romans came in and destroyed the temple. And that's exactly what Jesus was referring to. Okay, so, but the disciples, you have to remember, the disciples at the time, they didn't fully understand everything. They didn't fully understand all that was going on. They didn't fully understand even Jesus. And just like we don't fully understand all things that go on, we're in a process where we're learning, right? We're in a process, and this, again, is a reason why we need to stay connected, because God is doing things, but if we miss out on them, we're going to miss out on what God is doing. Oh, yeah. Amen? We'll make decisions. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. You cannot trust somebody who is not faithful. Right. And somebody who is not faithful to the things of God, you can't trust them. You can't put your trust in them. Not fully. You can't. I'm not saying you can't trust them at all, but I'm saying you have to be careful. You definitely don't want to say, if you go back to Psalm 1, it says, blessed be the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seat of sinners or the path of sinners. Amen. Or sits in the seat of the scornful. Yeah. Glory to God. We need to take heed to that. Amen. Well, glory to God. Praise the Lord. He said, do you see all these things? Surely I say to you, not one stone. I read that. Verse 3, now he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And now, so here, of course, they're trying to put all this together, but Jesus is going to answer it. Amen. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now, and I said this, I was sharing this with my wife earlier. When Jesus was saying this, he is not literally saying that every false prophet is going to come up and say, I'm Jesus. Right. Although some may. I mean, we've seen that. Yeah. But that's not what he's saying. He said, many will come. And they will say, I am the Christ. And what he's saying is giving us the idea that many will come and say, what does the word Christ literally mean? It means the Savior. It means the salvation, the Messiah. Amen. And so what he was saying is that there's going to be many that come claiming to be the Savior of whatever is going on. Yeah. They're going to, because there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulation, we're going to see that, but there's going to be things coming upon the earth. Oh, glory, I got to hurry. There's going to be things coming on the earth that are going to be, are going to rob from people. And there's going to be many rising up in those times saying, I've got the answer. There'll be governments that will rise up and say, I've got the answer. There's politicians that will rise up and say, I've got the answer. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. That's what it is. If the answer is not pointing back to God, then the answer is not of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And will deceive many. Many will be deceived. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Even here, Jesus says, see that you are not troubled. You will hear of these things. You will see these things. But see that you are not troubled. Amen? For all these things, look at this, must come to pass. They must happen. They must happen. I said they must happen. These things, the wars, you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. But all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Folks, this is the time we're living in. Yeah. Praise the Lord. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and there will be pestilences. and earthquakes in various places. We're seeing that. Oh, we are seeing that. We are seeing that. We are seeing that. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, this is the thing that always troubled me. This is one of the scriptures that always troubled me, because I was like, well, wait a minute. If I know that me and my family are going to be delivered up and murdered, I'm not going to have, that's going to trouble me. Yeah. But see, you have to remember that Jesus here is still talking to Jews about the Jewish kingdom. He's talking about what's going on in the world, but the church still is exempt from certain things. Now, I'm not saying that the church is completely exempt from trials. Of course we are not. But what I am saying is that we have promises that the church, those who are faithful, have promises that take us through the trial, that the Jews who do not follow God, not the same way, they don't continue following him, they didn't stay trusting him, we have promises that they don't have. But we also have promises that other Christians don't have, because there's other Christians that don't trust God. And see, if you don't trust God in these time periods, if you don't learn to put your full trust in God and say, you know what? We are going through to the other side. These things will come upon you and they will affect you. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets. Now see, if a Christian follows the word, they'll never hate one another. So we see that this isn't talking about them. Amen? Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he, look at this, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Praise the Lord. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So we see this. Look at, he who endures to the end will be saved. That word endures, it literally means maintains faith in Christ. Yeah. So he who by faith in Christ, endures till the end. Notice that, you can endure to the end. And so this is what we have to know. In times of trouble, in times of trial, in times of pandemics, this is the first of many. If we maintain our faith in Christ, if we hold on to that, if we endure hardness as good soldiers, glory to God, we will make it to the end. So you don't have to be afraid of the trials that are coming upon the earth, because you can still be saved from those. The Bible tells us so, amen? And he goes on, of course, in verse 14, I just read that, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. How will the gospel be preached if we're being killed? How will be the gospel preached if the churches that are preaching the word are all destroyed? See, and that's the thing, and that's why it's so important that when we interpret scripture, we have to understand, praise the Lord, we have to understand what is going on. We have to understand the context. Amen? Now, I want to share this with you because this is really interesting. Proverbs 12:25. Glory to God. I'm going to share this real close. Can we pull it up there? Can you pull it up? Praise the Lord. I just want people to look up here at it. Write it down. Proverbs 12:25. This is so interesting. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes him glad. Now, I was actually studying this out. I was studying out in the Hebrew, okay? And I found something that was pretty interesting. The word, of course, for anxiety, the word means fear and anxiety and sorrow. So any of those things in the heart of man causes depression. And what that word depression is what I was kind of stuck on. And the Spirit pointed that out and said, study that out. And so I started studying that out. That word depression literally means to depress oneself or to worship. And in all contexts that's used in Scripture, when you look at it and other all through the Bible, in all their contexts, that word is not used to be depressed. That word is to mean worship. Okay, it means to actually worship. And so I started reading this with that in mind, and I started realizing something about it. Anxiety in the or sorrow in the heart of man causes him to worship, draws him back to the things of God. And so that's the principle that we see, that whenever God's people, he allows them to be woke up by their fears, by their sorrows, because it drives them back. Always through the Old Testament, it was when you see people that were running from God, it was those fears that drove them back to God. It was those fears or those anxieties of being away from God that drove them back to worship him. Amen. And of course, if we look at the good word, I just always, when I think of the good word, I always think of the Bible, because the Bible is called the good word. Amen. The good word makes him glad. And what's the good word? The good word is the hope that is instilled from the scripture. And so when we see that, when we understand that, we understand that, you know, these trials, these troubles will cause mankind, we should say, to draw back to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We know this is a scriptural principle. This isn't even a stretch for me to even say this. We know that this is all the way through scripture. This is another one of those principles that whenever there are times of bad things that come on God's people, that they have drawn back to him, that they've gone back, you know, come back to him, and it causes them to worship him. And so I thought that was really interesting. Praise the Lord. In case you thought, well, do I have any other scriptures to back these things up? I want to share one real quick with you. I didn't write it down. It's in Daniel 12. Okay, Daniel 12 is a prophecy. It's literally the prophecy of the end time. That's not something I come up with. That's something scholars say. But look at 12:1. At that time, Michael, this is prophecy of the end time. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of the people. Praise the Lord, the sons of your people. So God's people, there's angels that watch over us, as we know the Bible says, amen. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. So there's a time in the end times that's coming. But look at this. Look at what it says here. Even to that time, so up until that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. Yeah. Glory to God. Everyone who is found written in the book. Amen. So what is that promise? That's that promise being verified. That's exactly what I was saying there. Glory to God. And then we're going to close with our last scripture in 1 Peter. Glory to God. Aren't you happy for the word? 1 Peter. You know, and like I said, you know, those scriptures, you know, so many times some of those, like the scripture like in Matthew there, it troubled me. And it was just because I didn't have an understanding of it. I didn't understand what he was talking about. Again, I'm not saying that we will be exempt from all trials. I never said that, and not even remotely implying that. But we have to look at trials differently. Yeah. We have to stand in faith. Yeah. Because when we know our God, when we truly trust our God, we know the outcome for us is always good. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And I will say this. Anybody who was martyred, they knew that they were going to be martyred. The Lord dealt with them on it. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Paul knew what was happening. Praise the Lord. So in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, 7, therefore humble yourself. We see that word, that idea. Humble means to debase or to lower yourself, to depress yourself. Amen? And that doesn't mean depressed as in spirit, be depressed. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, why would we cast our cares upon God if he wasn't going to do something about it? Why would we cast our cares upon God if we couldn't trust that he was going to do something about it? Why would the Bible tell us? It would be fruitless for him to tell us that. Why would it would be fruitless for Jesus to tell us to don't be troubled? If we knew, like, listen, if somebody said, like, at 5 o'clock tomorrow, so there's armed guards going to come into your house and they're going to shoot your kids and your spouse. They might just maim you. How much peace are you going to have between now and 5 o'clock tomorrow? Right. You're not going to have any, are you? See, the promise of the word is always preservation. It's always salvation, deliverance, glory to God. He is our deliverer, our redeemer. He's the one who has brought us back from that place of certain death. And he's brought us to certain joy, glory to God, certain peace, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of God I want to serve, amen? And that's the kind of God that the world's going to want to serve. When they see you being preserved, they're going to look at your life and say, whoa, I want that. Because there's going to be a time when we're going to have the only answer if we stay at church. that has the answer. But if we're one that bows down before every ruler, before every idea of man, just every pandemic that comes up, if we just lay down and just like, oh, just like everybody else, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know what we're going to do. Listen, if you go in public and you need to wear a mask, there's nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord. You know, follow, I mean, I don't particularly want to do these things either. And I can tell you, it won't do them forever. Some people have said, well, handshaking might be over. Not in my book, it won't. And maybe there'll be a lot of people that live in fear, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to shake hands and we ain't going to get diseases from it. Yeah. Amen. But in a time where disease is rampant, maybe we'll wait to shake hands for a little bit. That's wisdom. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. So, you know, these things, listen, we are not to be afraid of these things. We're to trust God. He wants to bring us through. He wants to deliver us. And God will. Yeah. Absolutely. If we trust in him. Amen. Folks, we need to learn how to trust in God. And I believe we're well on the way. Amen.